they were sure that if they could just do this thing they call parallel construction, and everybody should know this by this point, they do parallel construction, they find something that they can, that can give them an excuse to get a warrant, because then they can go and spy, because they have a hunch that there's going to be something else there. See, you have to remember, the FBI, the majority of FBI agents are all ex-lawyers. They're all ex-public defendants or public prosecutors that get recruited into the FBI. So they do things in a very lawyerly way. So this was parallel construction. They used this falsified evidence in order to get the warrant to spy on Trump, knowing for sure, being certain that he had something there that they would then be able to find and frame him with and stop him from becoming president. But he was too smart for them. All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the information war here in Austin, Texas. Thank you so much for being here with us. We have more than enough to discuss today, everything from the downfall of Bakhmut in Ukraine and developments on the ground there to the continued fallout of the Durham report, which I think is where we will start now, although we're also going to try to take a slightly wider angle view as we talk about all of this stuff and try to reorient ourselves, not to get lost in the weeds and mixed up in all of the nonsense on a day-to-day basis, but really pull back and understand how truly epic all of this is, and that so much of what's going on that may seem inexplicable, bizarre, without reason or purpose, is actually all driving towards one singular desire of the elites, which is to, simply put, live forever, and what that looks like, and why that's a intrinsic part of humanity since the dawn of our awakening. So we'll try to cover the full scope and scale of the singular, I like to think of it as a singular conspiracy. You could call it maybe the unified theory of conspiracy, that all of these separate things all actually have one purpose in mind, and it is the fulfillment of the, well, promise of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But let's stick with the Durham report and what it has revealed. Just tons of articles about this, interesting statements about it, even from people that typically we show videos of them because of how utterly blind they are to the corruption in Washington, D.C. Even they, like Chuck Todd, NBC, is saying maybe it's time for another church committee hearing. Maybe it's time for another one of those. The only problem with that, in my opinion, is that when the church committee hearings happened, nothing actually changed. I mean, you had one or two executive orders saying, hey, CIA, let's try not to kill any other leaders of foreign countries anymore. Just a suggestion. Of course, they ignored that entirely. So I don't know how much another church committee hearing would really serve us. Chuck Todd calls for full-scale probe into the FBI, says trust in the Bureau is eroding left and right. Well, I mean, that's one way to put it. I guess the other way to put it would be that the very existence of the FBI and its current manifestation is an existential threat to our very country, certainly our way of life and our founding principles. So yeah, maybe we should have a committee. Maybe a little meeting is in order. RFK Jr. went on a podcast with Dave Smith to talk about the Durham report, or at least they did talk about it while he was there. Stories at InfoWars, RFK Jr. downloads on Durham report saying 50 top-level CIA agents agreed to collaborate in a project to fix the election. Democrat presidential candidate points out how the transcripts of that of the conversation the CIA and FBI agents were having, acknowledging what they were doing was wrong and it had no basis. Let's go now to this video. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dave Smith discussing these bombshell findings of the Durham report. Again, the story is at InfoWars.com. Let's go now to clip number five.
The Democrats don't like, and the mainstream media is not really talking about the Durham report. But yeah, for me, because I've been concerned for so many years about, you know, about the CIA's illegal propagandizing American people, which it's not legally allowed to do. That report is appalling. Yeah. And it's not just the report and the guy who did it, which you can say, okay, you know, he had some motive or whatever. But, you know, it's the transcripts of the conversations that the CIA and FBI agents were having, where they were acknowledging that what they were doing was wrong, that it had no basis. And so you have the CIA coming in, 50 CIA, top-level CIA agents who agree to collaborate in a project to fix an election and to discredit one of the candidates. And, you know, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't think he was a good president. But people are allowed to disagree with that. And I can be friends with people who don't agree with me. And I can listen to their point of view. And, you know, we need to apply rules across the board.
Yeah, well, I completely agree.
We can't just say it's okay to shut up Donald Trump. It's okay for CIA agents to, you know, to fix an election against him.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable how many people have this binary thinking, because I'll say something about this, like how horrible this whole, you know, Russian investigation was. And people would be like, oh, so you love Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I think Donald Trump was a horrible president on many fronts. I think I will never forgive Donald Trump for funding the Saudi war in Yemen. I will never forgive Donald Trump for blowing up budgets in the reckless way that he did. And I will never forgive him for keeping Fauci as the head of the task force through all of 2020.
Or however, locking down the whole country.
Yeah, and supporting it, at least, as the governors were doing it. However, I can also look at the information here and go, look, it's pretty clear that this was a frame job. And what you have here is the intelligence agencies framing the sitting president of the United States for treason.
What I don't understand is how the revelations from the Durham report don't cast everything that you think you know about Trump in a different light. And, you know, maybe Dave Smith is not aware, maybe he's forgetting. You know, Trump wanted to fire Fauci, and every single member of the COVID task force said, if you fire one of us, the rest of us will quit. So, you know, they sort of extorted him. They sort of blackmailed him. Like, how do you not take what happened with the Durham report, understand the investigations that he was under, the intense pressure, the fabricated scandals constantly beleaguering his entire presidential, you know, term in office? How do you not look at all of his actions through a new lens of, okay, now we fully understand the true level of weaponization of these spy departments, whether it's the CIA or the FBI or the NSA or the DHS or any of the other three-letter agencies that are destroying this country, and understand that it was an impossible task he had set before him. Now it's a little bit more clear just how thorough we need a revamping of the American governmental system. But it seems like everything should be put in an entirely new perspective. Roger Stone wrote a story on this. It's a Gateway pundit. How John Durham documented the biggest illegal dirty trick in U.S. history and why no one will be held responsible. He notes that federal officials, including CIA Director John Brennan, FBI Director James Comey, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein all knew that the so-called Steele dossier, which alleged that Donald Trump had been entertained by Russian ladies of the evening doing unspeakable things once occupied by President Obama's Moscow hotel suite, were entirely unsubstantiated and false. Even outside of the context that we know this in, the revelation that they would do something like this and the assumption that they've done many, 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 many other things like this should really put everything you thought you knew about the American government in a whole new perspective if you were unaware this was happening in the first place. See, this doesn't really change our perspective because it's just acknowledging what we've known to be true the entire time. It's a little bit of a coloring in, a filling in of the details when we had the wider picture from the beginning. And in the next segment, we'll get into and sort of dig down, because this is layer upon layer upon layer of deceit and deception, right? You might start with the Robert Mueller investigation up here, and that was its own hodgepodge of scandals and made-up nonsense to stop Donald Trump from doing anything positive for the American people. But that was based off the Russia investigation, which was based off the false information from Hillary Clinton that was pushed by Hillary Clinton to cover up for the emails server that she had, that she wasn't allowed to, that was only being used because of the illegal activity she was engaged in with the wars in the Middle East and transferring Stinger missiles. Like, do you understand just how far this rabbit hole goes? Just what a tangled web we're being trapped in right now? Because we'll get into it. We'll start from the very beginning, at least more towards the beginning. Because even as we talk about Benghazi and the reason that she had the email server in the first place, that in and of itself is just another section of the Warren, if you will, as we go down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, chasing the end of this corruption, which seems absolutely and totally endless. So we'll get into it from the top on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Harrison Smith sitting in today for Alex Jones. I, of course, host the morning show, The American Journal, where we take your calls every weekday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. band.video. I mean, just the number of stories we have to cover today. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly threatened Bill Gates, exposing an affair with a Russian bridge player. Didn't realize. Okay. Yeah, there's just a lot to talk about in that. New York Attorney General leads coalition advocating for protection of trans athletes. The cheaters. It's another thing that we're, another theme we're latching onto, at least on American Journal. Just the fact these people are just shameless cheaters. Like, there's something wrong with them. Nobody should feel like, I don't know. There's just something wrong, like morally wrong with them. If you go from like 200th place amongst the men's, and then you're standing on the podium in first place with the women, and you feel like you've like achieved something when you know you're just cheating, like there's something wrong with you. Something very wrong with you. But it goes on and on. We have to talk about Ukraine today. We'll be opening up the lines for your phone calls. And it just goes on and on. But of course, we're talking about the Durham report, not because the Durham report necessarily came out with anything that we didn't have an inkling of already, but because of the true scope and scale that it represents, it exposes. And we can go all the way back to the Benghazi attack. This was a write-up from Jeff Hugh on Twitter. He says this, here's the real story. Ambassador Stevens was sent to Benghazi to secretly retrieve U.S.-made Stinger missiles that the State Department had supplied to Ansar al-Sharia in Libya without congressional oversight or permission. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had brokered the Libya deal through Ambassador Stevens and a private arms dealer named Mark Turry, but some of the shoulder-fired Stinger missiles ended up in Afghanistan, where they were used against our own military. On July 25th, 2012, a U.S. Chinook helicopter was downed by one of them, not destroyed, only because the idiot Taliban didn't arm the missile. The helicopter didn't explode, but it had to land, and an ordnance team recovered the missile's serial number, which led back to a cache of Stinger missiles kept in Qatar by the CIA. Obama and Hillary were in full panic mode, so Ambassador Stevens was sent to Benghazi to retrieve the rest of the Stinger missiles. This was a do-or-die situation, which explains the stand-down orders, which were given to multiple rescue teams during the siege of the U.S. Embassy. It was the State Department, not the CIA, that supplied the Stinger missiles to our sworn enemies, because General Petraeus at the CIA would not approve supplying the deadly missiles due to their potential use against commercial aircraft. So then Obama threw General Petraeus under the bus when he refused to testify in support of Obama's phony claim of a, quote, spontaneous uprising caused by a YouTube video that insulted Muslims. Obama and Hillary committed treason. This is what the investigation is all about, why she had a private server in order to delete the digital evidence, and why Obama, 2 weeks after the attack, told the UN that the attack was the result of a YouTube video, even though everyone knew that it wasn't. And it just goes on and on. But remember, this was the instigation of the distraction of the Russiagate scandal, the claims of Donald Trump being involved with Russia that everybody involved knew was totally false from the very beginning. So it's like, it's the most tangled web you can possibly imagine. As you go down these rabbit holes, it's like they're giving missiles to our enemies to fight a proxy war that's undeclared and has no congressional approval. And then to cover that up, they have a email server that they wipe and delete and hide and disguise. And that's another thing that we've been saying forever, right? It's not that the email server itself was the crime. That was the covering up of the crime. The email server held the evidence of the much greater crime and the much greater acts of treason, sedition, I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's just business as usual nowadays. I mean, when you really look at how the American government has behaved over the last 50 years, it's not like this is even out of the ordinary. It's just violently illegal and has nothing to do with the interest of actual American people and our way of life or our well-being or anything of the sort. It's just power games. It's just geopolitical chess that they're playing, sacrificing real human lives to achieve their despicable ends. So all of that's just the groundwork. All of that's just the background to the FBI getting with the Clinton camp, whatever you want to call it, campaign, foundation, organization, crime ring, mob family, CIA front, I mean, whatever you want to call it. They get with them and they drop immediately four investigations, legitimate investigations into what was going on with the Clintons, just drop them out of nowhere and actually go on TV and claim that the investigations concluded and that they didn't come up with enough to charge Hillary Clinton. In the most bizarre statement maybe ever spoken by an FBI leader, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I remember where I was. Like, I remember being at my grandparents' house and getting an alert that was like, the FBI is about to make a statement on the Clinton investigations because they've been going on forever. And we knew that there was so much criminality there. I mean, just, and it was right running up to the election, and it was like, this is it. They've got something. They're going to charge her. They're going to reveal what they know. And he goes on TV and says, yes, what she did was illegal. Yes, we have the evidence of her doing the illegal thing, knowing it was illegal, but we can't prove intent, so we're not going to charge her. Literally going on TV and saying, yes, the Clinton campaign, or Clinton herself as Secretary of State, behaved illegally, but no, we're not going to charge her. I mean, it was such a shocking and bizarre thing to have happen, and yet in the background of all of that, they're starting and instigating investigations into Donald Trump that are totally and completely baseless. I mean, it's false flag on top of cover-up, on top of fake investigation, all being coordinated, by the way, with the intent that Hillary Clinton would win. See, they did all of this stuff. They went so above and beyond and were so obvious and blatant and open with their treasonous activities, texting each other, we have an insurance plan. See, that insurance plan was get Hillary Clinton elected. She's in our pocket. We're in her pocket. We pat each other's backs. We have each other's, you know, interest in this. So once she's president, she'll cover all of this up. You realize if Donald Trump hadn't won in 2016, none of this would have ever even been made public. None of it would have been revealed. We wouldn't have known the first thing about this. Likely, the only thing that would have happened was they would have continued the fake investigation. They would have fabricated more falsified evidence, and they would have actually charged Donald Trump, and he'd probably be sitting in prison right now if they weren't going to, like, actually execute him for treason, because God only knows how far these people are willing to go. And so that's the other thing that you really have to understand, that these people did all of this thinking that they were going to get away with it, like thinking they were going to win, thinking they were going to be able to cover all of it up and get Hillary Clinton in office. It was Donald Trump's election that didn't allow any of that to happen, and truly was an unexpected major negative development in the lives of these people. However, everyone involved in this is still free, is still walking around, is still just doing what they've been doing the entire time. It's almost impossible to explain just how thoroughly corrupt the FBI is and just what a threat this is to just everything, just literally everything. So we'll just try to go down like a list of just what the FBI has been up to in the next segment, not even counting what the DHS has been up to, what the CIA has been up to, what the NSA has been up to, what all, I mean, we are just a collection of spy agencies at this point with a subject people funding it and taking the blame for their actions. That is the American status at this point. We're not a country. We're just a cabal of spies and their victims, their cattle, the people they farm for money in order to carry out their misdeeds. Stay with us. We'll get into it on the other side. Harrison Smith sitting in today for Alex Jones. It is Sunday, the 21st of May, and we are deep behind enemy lines here in Austin, Texas. You know, while we talk about everything that's going on, getting into one of the primary tools of the globalists in their campaign against humanity, the spy agencies, the other various unaccountable, permanent, deep state government apparatuses that we have to deal with continuously. And at the same time, we've got just the transgender mind control program mixed with the chemical accelerant, you might say, of the PFAs and the atrazine and the other various hormonal manipulators that have brought us to this point and is also tearing our country apart and our children apart, for that matter, from the inside out. You also have the war in Ukraine going south as they continue to wage an undeclared war against a nuclear-armed superpower without even the justification of, like, a use of force. Like, they aren't even saying these people are terrorists, so we're allowed to do this under some 30-year-old justification. They don't even bother. They're just doing it now to defend democracy, after all. No one voted for it. No one wants it, but it's democracy, so it's being forced down our throat. None of this makes any sense, but at the same time, you have just the race war being kindled, being fostered, being accelerated, and everything. Like, all of this plays into the divide and conquer takeover of the world, the installation of global governance that even the WHO is just calling by name now. WHO leader this weekend said literally that we need global governance to deal with the next pandemic. Sort of forgetting, I guess, that it was the global government that's currently in operation that both created the virus in the lab, in my opinion, released it on purpose, and then coordinated the reaction to bring about the economic destruction of America and psychological destruction of the world over. And while we talk about all of this, the Bilderberg Group is meeting to plot the next step in their scheme of world domination. Yeah, they can't stand up on their own, but they can certainly destroy your whole family, leave you a quivering mess. Support everything that we do here by going to InfoWarsStore.com. In fact, we have it band.video, the Press for Truth channel. Dan Dix is in Lisbon, Portugal, capturing what's going on at the Bilderberg Conference. Even the fact that Bilderberg is just a public conference at this point is really a victory for InfoWars. Said this on my show a bunch, but does everybody remember? For about 40, 45 years or so, they pretended that the Bilderberg Group didn't exist and that the Bilderberg meetings didn't happen. And if you claimed that they did, you were a crazy conspiracy theorist. So this is the process that the entire New World Order global government system has had to go through. See, they used to be able to operate totally in secret because they had the mainstream media in their pocket. They could do whatever they wanted and it would all be covered up. Then people like Alex Jones came along, blew the lid off the whole thing, and so they had to change their tactic. They had to contend with reality. They don't have total absolute control, not yet. They might soon, but as of now, and even more so in the last couple decades with the advent of the internet, you had people like Alex Jones and others exposing what was going on outside of the control of the mainstream media. And so they had to change their tactics. So now they say, okay, yeah, we are meeting. Yeah, we are doing this, but it's because we love you. It's because we're good and we're saving the earth, actually, that we're doing this secret meeting with all of the elites and the corporate masters and the mainstream media and the crowned princes and all these other despicable scumbags. But even their pretending to be open now is just obviously false, because you've got like a list of attendees that doesn't include the people that people like Dan Dix are catching on camera being at Bilderberg. So like Yuval Noah Harari wasn't on the official attendee list, but was photographed seen going into the Bilderberg meeting. So it's all a lie. They just do nothing but lie the entire time. And everybody is waking up to this at this point. The Great Awakening is on, and that's why you see an acceleration of their tactics. But the acceleration of the awakening happens in tandem. So, I mean, we've got a really good chance at this. It's just we have to stick the course and continue to expose these people for what they are. And you can support us in this mission by going to InfoWarsStore.com. And, of course, make it easy for you to do so by giving you the best products on the market at a fantastic price. I guess you could call it a true 360 win. That's what I would call it, a true 360 win. But let's get back to the FBI, shall we? Shall we get back to our good friends, the Patriots, the stalwarts at the FBI? Because I was having trouble just even encapsulating in my mind how many things have been revealed over the last couple of years, or even the last year or so, even just the last couple of months, like there's so much coming out that it's hard to fathom and it's hard to keep in your mind. So I started making just a little bit of a list, and then I found that the list was becoming too big, so I had to break it into categories. It's an unfinished list as of now, but all of these things are just within the last couple of months or so, because at the same time that you have the revelation with John Durham about the FBI lying and starting a false investigation, because they were sure, by the way, they were sure that Trump had something. They were sure that if they could just do this thing they call parallel construction, and everybody should know this by this point, they do parallel construction, they find something that they can that can give them an excuse to get a warrant, because then they can go and spy, because they have a hunch that there's going to be something else there. Right? So if you think somebody is, you know, I don't know, trafficking drugs or whatever, but you can't get anything legal on them, like nothing that can be presented in court, then you have to find a different crime that they've committed and then use that to get the warrant to search, knowing that you're going to find the drugs there and charge them for what you will really want to charge them for. See, you have to remember, the FBI, the majority of FBI agents are all ex-lawyers. They're all ex-public defendants or public prosecutors that get recruited into the FBI. The FBI is not like college athletes or like the top of their class at the police academy. No, they're all lawyers. So they do things in a very lawyerly way. So this was parallel construction. They used this falsified evidence in order to get the warrant to spy on Trump, knowing for sure, being certain that he had something there that they would then be able to find and frame him with and stop him from becoming president. But he was too smart for them, so they came up with nothing. But this is all just the latest in a very, very long history, very storied, a very busy history, I should say, over the very recent past of what the FBI has been up to. Biden accused of pressuring FBI to fabricate extremist threat, right? These are rank-and-file FBI agents accusing the Biden administration of exaggerating the threat of white supremacists that they knew not to be true. Another whistleblower said FBI is creating a false narrative, reclassifying normal apolitical crimes as being white supremacist right-wing crimes. Now, there's another one from all the way back in September of 2022. FBI agent says, we have more people assigned to investigate white supremacy than there are white supremacists that we're finding. That gives you an idea of just the true level of and scale of this. Whistleblowers at two different times came to the House Judiciary and blew the whistle on the FBI. One of them saying that the FBI leadership was pressuring agents to artificially pad domestic terrorism data. And the other one coming to say that this is from the House Judiciary GOP. New whistleblower information reveals the FBI is moving agents off of sexual abuse investigations to instead pursue political investigations. The whistleblower recounted being told that, quote, child sexual abuse investigations are no longer an FBI priority. So let the child sex trafficking continue. They have higher goals in mind, like targeting Catholics for going to church and pro-life people for waving a sign outside of a Planned Parenthood. That's what they're really interested in. And then you have just the litany of FBI investigations or instigations when it comes to like kicking down the door of Roger Stone, but telling CNN to be there so they can capture it on film first, or going after Mike Lindell, claiming he was going to conspire to steal somebody's identity and arresting him. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on. It almost doesn't end. It's almost like these organizations should be broken up and scattered to the wind in 1,000 different pieces. Maybe. I don't know. That's just me. Today might be a good day to go revisit that old classic Alex Jones documentary Endgame, which is just as relevant today as it ever was, especially with Bilderberg meeting in Lisbon, Portugal. You can find videos on all of this course at band.video and infowars.com, articles as well at Bilderberg's Big Wig Bash. Two things are guaranteed, Kissinger and secrecy. And I think I can explain what's going on here. The, whatever you want to call it, Illuminati, New World Order, Global Government, World Economic Forum, whatever label you want to put on it, this group of tyrants decided that America would be their vessel for domination. By occupying the top spots in the American government, the unelected deep state, spy state positions, they could have unlimited power, essentially, right? Who has more power in America than the FBI and the CIA? They can cover up anything. They can make any demands under the claim of national security, of course. This is national security, so you can't talk about it. You can't ask questions, and we don't have to answer them. National security. So they occupy these top spots, and for several decades, they had just massive success with this because they had control of the mainstream media and were able to keep the American people as unwitting participants in their wider schemes. Then came along people like Alex Jones. Then everything sort of started breaking down. Donald Trump was a big part of this as well. Biggest awakening of our lifetimes, or maybe in the history of the world, during 2016. Not even from what Trump said or did, but from the reaction to him and the way that people saw that the people in positions of power in our country were willing to disregard laws, morals, any restrictions of the Constitution in order to get their way. Like, that was the real awakening. It was people just opening their eyes to what's been going on the entire time. And so because they chose America as their vessel for world domination, because they chose us as their, I don't know how you'd put it, like their muscle men, right? They create a little conflict somewhere in the Middle East. They arm some dictator, and then they send American soldiers to go in and burn the whole place down and make off with the money. Because they chose us, we're the only ones who can stop them. Because they chose us to occupy and to manipulate to their own ends, we are now the biggest threat to them because we're the only ones who can stop them because, hey, they made a good choice. America is the most powerful, dominant country in the history of the world. So why wouldn't they choose us, right? But the problem is that we have this little thing in us. We have this little part of our history that has to do with rebellion and revolution and undying liberty and God-given rights. So they may have actually chosen poorly at the end of the day, because as Americans started to wake up to what they were up to, as they started to realize that we'd been used as patsies the entire time, people at the top realized we're in great danger. We are in great danger now, because now the people that we've chosen to use as tools for world domination are turning on us, and we have to clamp this down. So they started to go to war with the American people, a war that still rages today in various different forms, whether it's the psychological chemical war, attempting to quite literally breed us out of existence, or the just psychological fracturing that they're causing by fabricating unimportant conflicts into massive conflagrations that tear families apart and leave us hopeless and dejected. Or whether it's the just FBI targeting Americans, saying that white supremacy is the biggest threat ever, when there's absolutely no justification for that claim in the slightest. It doesn't matter. They're doing it anyway. And we're seeing how they do it. Now you have this. Dem senator pushes bill to form federal agency to police and fine Americans for misinformation and hate speech. Because it really is an information war, folks. They understand that. We understand that. That's why we've been targeted so much, and that's why they target you so much. Those who deviate from the official narrative will be fined for spreading misinformation. And of course, this comes on the heels of the disinformation board that never actually went away, but was just reconfigured and merged into other DHS programs. So you've got the DHS simultaneously starting entire programs and building buildings, hiring tens of thousands of people to bring in, to, you know, censor and manipulate American opinion to protect the globalists who are destroying and using our country, while simultaneously opening the border to millions and perhaps tens of millions of unvetted illegal immigrants who are ferried here by the UN and NGOs and your tax dollars. I mean, it is a full-scale war that we're waging at this point. And so because they chose us to occupy, I don't even like saying that, they chose, as if we're lucky to be chosen. Us? Oh, you choose us? It's like, yeah, the brain parasite chose you. Yes, that's true. Yes, the bug that went in your ear while you were sleeping and now controls your nervous system. Yeah, they chose us, just like a mind control parasite chooses its victim. Foreign malign influence in her. Yeah. So because they choose us, we are now the biggest threat to them, and they are working feverishly to stop the awakening and stop us from realizing what they're doing and setting it right. It's not about vengeance. It's not about they want to be in charge and we want to be in charge. We have to fight it out. It's about the rule of law. It's about our historic and genetic disposition towards freedom, liberty, justice, what used to be called the American way. Now we're being run by these creepy weirdos. You know, he blocked me on Twitter just because I posted that picture. He said something. I said, hey, what face do you think he makes when he tweets? Now Peter Strzok has blocked me, Harrison, on Twitter. How dare he? I guess he doesn't like being reminded of his own visage, but none of these people do. I mean, hell, at the end of the day, they might have ultimate earthly power. They might have unlimited money and the ability to murder at will and cover up their crimes and all that. But at the end of the day, they got to look in the mirror, and that's the real tragedy. They got to see themselves looking back, and that's what really pisses them off. And what all of this is, their misguided outrage over. And I mean, that's just, I mean, when you talk about what the DHS has been up to, I mean, now I guess they've got this senator who's trying to give them political cover to do it, because this is the way that it works. And this is another thing we're figuring out from the Durham report, is that the spy agencies just operate in a totally rogue fashion, just completely abandon their constitutional limitations, just override and take for themselves undue authority that is not theirs to exercise. And then they have the Democrats to come in and to shut up the whistleblowers and to give the interviews on the media that make the corruption seem not as bad as it is. So there's this partnership with the Democratic Party and the intelligence agencies that goes back decades, but that we're again seeing evinced here. Dem senator pushes bill to form federal agency to police and fine Americans for misinformation and hate speech. It's Democrat Senator Michael Bennett introduced the Digital Platform Commission Act last week, which would form a de facto ministry of truth called the Federal Digital Platform Commission. And, you know, when we're talking about all the stuff that the FBI is up to, do I even need to remind you about the Twitter files? I mean, at the same time that they're launching disinformation centers and targeting Catholics for their faith or pro-life people for their stance or mothers who are concerned about what's being taught to their children and labeling them domestic terrorists and kicking down their door at 5 a.m. to haul them off at gunpoint in front of their children. At the same time they're doing that, they also have literally hundreds of agents and ex-agents infiltrating big tech companies and forcing them to silence uncomfortable information that they would rather not have spread. A multi-front informational war that they are really desperate to portray as if they're winning. But this might be the, you call it the Bakhmut syndrome, where they act like something is, they act like their victory is assured until it's not, and then they act like they never cared anyway. And we'll talk a little bit about Ukraine in the next hour. And again, we'll try to zoom out a little bit, take a bird's eye view of this situation and see everything that, how all of this really ties in together. That's what makes conspiracy theorists sound crazy, is like you can literally jump from Hillary Clinton's email server to climate change. And people are like, whoa, you're crazy, man. It's like, no, all of these things are intricately intertwined. All of these things are progressing the same agenda. It's an anti-human agenda. It's a cult of death. It is a prelude to an impenetrable system without the ability of revolution. And we'll get into how all this plays together. Coming up, Durham is going to testify to Congress on May 25th. The second Brunson case is on the SCOTUS docket, and that'll be decided by May 24th. The CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, is going to be deposed about his money laundering accusations with Epstein. That'll be on the 26th and 27th. And then you've got impeachment proceedings against Schiff and others. It's going to be a very interesting week, folks.
Iodine is naturally acquired through the soil, which is at the foundation of our entire food supply. Modern farming techniques have stripped the soil of this essential trace element, which has caused an iodine deficiency in about half the population. And there are two things we need to do about it. We need to practice more regenerative farming. There are plenty of proven technologies in permaculture and biodynamics that will naturally keep the soil rich with iodine. And we need to ensure that we get the sufficient amount of iodine every day. Derived from ancient sea salts found thousands of feet below the Earth's surface, our InfoWars Life Survival Shield X3 is hands down the best. Pure nascent iodine, stabilized in an activated tri-iodine form. For a healthy thyroid and a healthy metabolism, get yours now at InfoWarsStore.com.